Wow. What a morning. The title for today's message is Wow. And it was chosen after I read our scripture for today. And this was a few weeks back, but not just when I read that scripture. As I got into it this week and I studied, and when I look at scripture, I'll read what's taking place before it and after it. And you cannot read Acts chapter 7, 8, and 9 and just shake your head in amazement and say, wow. Wow. How did what took place then, how did God use that to spread the gospel? And the answer to that is nothing but wow. How amazing our God works. And we're looking particularly today at Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. But we have to back up, and we have to talk about chapter 6 and 7, and maybe if we don't run out of time, maybe a little bit of 9. But we got to look today at Stephen. Stephen was one of those selected by the apostles to kind of do their dirty work, if you will. And we don't hear a lot about Stephen in Scripture. We don't hear a lot about him before this, and really after this, we really can't hear anything about him because he's no longer with us, or with the disciples, or with them back then. But Stephen got the opportunity to share the gospel to the Sanhedrin. Now that sounds like a pretty big honor, right? Sharing the gospel to the Jewish leaders. Kind of sounds like it could be an honor, but it didn't turn out that way for him. When he's speaking to them, he held absolutely nothing back. And the Sanhedrin are the Jewish leaders who aren't real happy with the whole spreading of the gospel and the message that Jesus died on the cross and rose again and died for our sin and all that. The Sanhedrin didn't want to hear that, but Stephen in chapter 7, and he really laid it on to them. He was bringing the gospel, and he was preaching it like never before. But he doesn't say what his audience wants to hear. He doesn't say, well, this Jesus thing, yeah, that's pretty cool, but what you're doing is cool too, it's all good. No, he is not afraid to speak the truth, even though they were not willing or ready to hear it. He brought the truth of the gospel. And how was Stephen rewarded? Was Stephen rewarded? Stephen was drug out and stoned to death. I'm here to say today, guys, that was a reward. And in our earthly sense, we're thinking, well, he was killed. How can that be a reward? That day, he got to be in heaven with our Maker. That is a reward. We're sad, the people on earth are sad when somebody leaves us, but they got their reward. Stephen was in heaven with God. What a reward. What a reward that was. And it tells later in chapter 9 or even chapter 8, I'm getting them mixed up here a little bit, but it also says how Saul, and we know the story of Saul was eventually transformed and is now Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, a major majority of it. Paul was there, known as Saul then, but he approved of them dragging Stephen out and stoning him to death. He approved of it, and we're going to come back to that point, hopefully. But I want to read Acts chapter 7, verse 54 through 8:6. And this is talking, of course, of Stephen bringing the gospel. Not afraid to preach it. When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up at the heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing at the right hand. Look, he said, I have seen the heavens open and the Son of Man is standing at the right hand of God. That sounds like a reward for being faithful for what God asked him to do. At this, they covered their ears, yelling at the top of their voices, and they all rushed him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he said this, he fell asleep, and Saul was there, giving approval to his death. On that day, great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed Christ there. Then it was on. Great persecution, it says. Great persecution for anyone who was willing to spread the gospel. Christians were on the run. There was no safe place for them to hide in Jerusalem. So what the Sanhedrin did, what the Jewish people did, was trying to stop Stephen from spreading the gospel, when in turn it turned out that God used that to spread the gospel everywhere, to scatter them so they can share it with just more than the people right in that area. And this was really the beginning of the spreading out of the gospel. We all go through tough times. We all go through tragedies in our life, rough things, and God always uses them for his glory. And this is the best example you can find in Scripture of spreading the gospel everywhere. Something horrible of Stephen stoning, spreading it everywhere. And the persecution didn't stop the gospel, but it spread it. It's kind of like, I'd done this once when I was little. I don't advise doing it again, children. But when you see that nice big hornet's nest up in the tree, and you got a rock in your hand, what are you going to do? You're going to throw that rock, right? But it gets them bees fired up, and it spreads them out. That's what this did. It spread out all the Christians. And they weren't able, they weren't willing, because they were full of the Holy Spirit. They weren't willing to keep their mouths shut and keep quiet and hide under a rock and hope all this went away. They weren't willing to do that. And it says Philip went down towards Samaria, and he spread the gospel. And it was really neat. It says a lot about Philip there, about what all and how many people he affected. But Philip was also, if we back up to Acts chapter 6, verse 5, Philip was one with Stephen that the original apostles commissioned, I think it was 7 men, Philip, Stephen, and a few others that aren't mentioned anywhere else in Scripture. But they were commissioned to help the apostles out. And of course, Stephen is no longer with them. He was stoned. And Philip heads south. Now, the point I'm trying to make here is Stephen and Philip, before this, were just ordinary people. Nothing spectacular about them. They didn't come from a wealthy family or a high-class family. They didn't come from people with money. They didn't come from people that everybody knew. They were just normal people living their life, and they got bit by the bug of the Spirit, and they couldn't be quiet. They couldn't keep quiet. And so Philip, he is faithful to God, and he follows God's direction and leading in his life. And he goes to Samaria. Now, something about Samaria there. I don't know if Philip was going there to hide or just had nowhere else to go, but Samaritans and Jewish people didn't get along very well. They didn't like each other. So for him to go there, one, he probably knew he was safe from the Jewish people chasing him there. But also, God sent him there because they needed to hear the gospel. And wow, did God use Philip. All I can say is wow. And as we read through it, I think it's verse 12. They believed Philip as he preached the good news. The good news of Jesus. As he preached it, they believed. And they were baptized, both men and women. Many of them, Philip led to Christ, all because of what took place with Stephen, and he was scattered. He probably wouldn't have scattered otherwise. God used an ordinary man in Philip and did extraordinary things with him. And as we go through today, we're going to look a little bit more at what Philip did and how God used him, this ordinary person. That's what I want you to remember that and think about it. God is in the business of using ordinary people to do extraordinary things. We all, you know, we watch all these sporting events and these people do amazing things, and we all want that fame at times in our life and that glory that goes with it. But we're just as, if not more important than those people, because God uses us. God uses ordinary people in extraordinary ways. I'm going to read now. Finally, I'm going to get through our sermon text for today. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. And this is the account of what's going on in Philip after he was baptizing men and women. And the apostles, a couple of them, came down to see him. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out on his way. He met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship and was on his way home, sitting in a chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stand near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before the shearer is silent. So he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from earth." The eunuch then asked Philip, "Please tell me, who is this prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news of Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. There was nothing spectacular about Philip. He didn't go to some amazing seminary school or any Bible training. Nothing spectacular about him. But he followed. When God called, he followed what God called him to do. And that makes ordinary people extraordinary. When we follow what God calls us to do, whether it's something simple as picking up the phone and calling someone and just saying hi. When we follow what God calls us to do, it makes us extraordinary. It makes us extraordinary. May not seem like much. You know, Philip, what did he do? He witnessed to one person, baptized one person, just one Ethiopian. Not a big deal, right? But think about it. Think about where the gospel had been centered up to this point, around Jerusalem, right? Where all the Jews were and all the mess was going on there. Where was this guy heading that Philip just baptized? He was heading back to Ethiopia, a complete new country, a complete new continent. Now the gospel is being spread out to an entire new continent because of one person. Philip was faithful to what God called him to do, and now that Ethiopian is going to take that back and share that message as well. We never know how God's going to use us. But God invests in people one person at a time, because he cares about each and every one of us. He invests in us one at a time because he cares, and because we're valuable. And no matter what we're going through and no matter what's on our mind, we are valuable. You are valuable. No matter where at in your stage of life, whether you're a newborn baby or whether you've been here a few years, you are valuable. Because you're a child of God and He cares about you. You know, Andrew Carnegie, I'm sure the name rings a bell with many of you. He was made his fortunes in the steel industry. Had big plants and all that, a lot of them down in Pittsburgh. But he made fortunes in the steel industry. And he made a comment once, and I'm gonna share that quote with you here. He said once, "You take away my people, but leave my factories, and the grass will soon grow up through the floors. But you leave my people and take my factories, and before long, those people will build bigger and better factories." People have value. We have value. God gives us value. Every life is valuable. Every one of us. Every one of us, from the youngest one here to the oldest one here, God gives us value. And so where we're going to go now is we're going to look at some group of people today that have extreme value. We're going to talk a lot about value now. And today's title is Wow. That's today's title of scripture. I think it's up there now. And this was completely coincidental for today. Go ahead, Derek. Mom, women have value. Every one of us have had women in our lives that have helped us get to where we are today. Some more than others, but no doubt, women have helped me get to where I am today, have made me what I am today, and each and every one of you has the same. And every man, every child, every person in here are what they are today because of multiple women. Multiple influences when they were growing up that helped form us and shape us from a young baby into the people we are today. I want you to stop for a minute and I want you to think. And I know this can be tough because some of them valuable women in our lives have gone on, have got their reward. But I want you to think of those women. And there could be many of them, or just a few. For me, of course, it started with my mother. My mother, of course, raised me from a child and is very valuable to me because she raised me right and she did what she could do. And then I think of my grandmothers, the influence they've had in my life. And yes, both my grandmothers are still alive. And I get to see them, and I will share with them today how valuable they are with me. And then, of course, there's my wife, who helps keep me in line now and keeps me from doing really dumb things at times. But then there's somebody else that I want to share about today, too. And these flowers I have up here represent these five women in my life. Of course, my mother, my grandmothers, my wife. And then there's another very special lady, and I'm just singling her out today for a reason. And she's a lady that's from our home church in North Lima. And she was there. Her daughter was my age, her youngest daughter. I think they had 7 or 8 children. But she was there from day one for me. And this is probably going to be her last Mother's Day. Because she's fighting a battle with cancer that she will not win, and they know that. But growing up, she wasn't afraid to be truthful to me. When I was a little kid, I might not have been perfect all the time. I liked to get in a little trouble. I like to be a little mischievous, and she wasn't afraid to give me the look. And I guarantee you, every one of her children know what that look is. And I'm going to remember that look, because she gave me that look because she cared about me, because she cared. And so what I'm going to do today is I'm going to hopefully find time to stop at her house. If not, she's going to get a phone call. And she's going to get a big thank you from me. Because she took the time to care for a young little squirrely boy who wanted to get in trouble. Quite often, she took the time to care for me. She didn't have to. She wasn't a family. She wasn't a relative. But she cared. She cared for me. And she has no idea the influence it had on me growing up. And we have young people in this church, male, female, doesn't matter. That us that have been here a few years have no idea the effect we're having on those people. And probably most of us here can sit back that were raised in the church and spent plenty of time growing up in the church, going to Sunday school. Most of us have one or two or three, maybe even four people. Could even be males, females, it doesn't matter. We have people that have strongly influenced our lives to get us where we are today. They deserve a thank you. They deserve a thank you. They deserve a thank you. We also have in our lives, those of us that are married, God gave us men, gave us wives to help us along the way. And one of my favorite verses in Scripture is Proverbs 12, verse 4. And it says that a wife of noble character is a crown to her husband. And ladies, you as you read this, those of you that have husbands or that may have husbands someday, as you read this, that should get you excited. That should light a fire in you that you want to be the biggest and the shiniest and the brightest crown that you could be for your husband. I know you won't be the best because I have the best. But you can all strive for that. But husbands, listen carefully. Treat your wife like she is your crown. She helps shape you into what you are today. I heard on the radio this week, and I was just running up the street, and it just happened to be on. I don't know what the whole sermon was about, but I heard the pastor share something. And he said about talking about a man and his wife, that he says God often speaks to men through their wives. And I had never thought about this before. Never thought about it. But then I realized how many times that God has spoken to me through my wife and how much trouble it would have saved me over the years if I just listened to her every time. Save us a lot of trouble. But nonetheless, anything, anyone God uses to speak to us, we better treat him right. We better show him love. Love them with all your heart. Next to God, our wives, husbands, should be loved more than anything. More than our job, more than our fancy car or truck or whatever. Our wives should be loved more than anything, second to God, of course. God has them in our lives for a reason. Lift them up. Shoot them a smile every now and again. Let them know that you care about them. Let them know you care. And now we're come to a point where we've talked about kind of the matriarchs and then the mothers, and now the younger people. And it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where you're at in here, but those of us that are no longer in school or younger, it doesn't matter the age, I guess. The younger ones, younger females in this building are very important as well. And they face a lot throughout their lives. They get beat down. But back to Philip sharing the gospel with that one Ethiopian. God cared about that Ethiopian. And God cares about all the children, all the little ones in this building, and in this world even. But he also has done things in such a way, he set things up that it's our job as older ones to help raise these younger ones, to help share the love of Christ with these younger ones. And you younger ones, it's your job to look up to your older generations and look for advice, ask for advice. Because they've been there. They know the struggles you're going through. And they'll help you out when they can. The whole point here that we're going to wrap this up, but the point is now that where we're going to take this next is that today, the rest of the day, work to thank the women that have influenced your life. The rest of the day, thank them. Now, these flowers definitely represent five ladies that I'm going to thank today. And I got each and every one of you ladies in this church, young or old, a little gift to take with you today. And it's to remind you today to thank God for that person, that lady that God has placed in your life, whether she's been taken home already or not. And if as you get this flower, if you think of this person and God has taken her home, say a prayer. Thank God for that person. If that person's still on this earth and you don't see them very often, pick up the phone and call them and thank them. Let them know that they didn't run the race in vain. And you younger girls, as you get your flower, I want you to think of people that have influenced you to this point. Not only that, but it's to remind you to reach out to them. Reach out to these godly women as you face struggles in life. We're a church. We're here together. We need each other to get through this earth, to get our reward in the end, to make it to our reward. Because Satan, all he does is attacks and attack and attack and attack. Let's take time to thank God today for the important people he's placed in our life. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, thank you. Thank you for each and every person, woman or man, that you've placed in my life to shape me into what I am today. And for every person that you've placed in anyone's life in this room, Lord, thank you. Thank you so much. And Lord, as we go, I pray that you'll remind us to take time to thank those people for the day. But not only that, Lord, to recognize when you're calling us to step up and share the love you placed in our heart with someone younger than us, with someone of another generation who we may not have much in common with, Lord, I pray that you will give us the courage to step up when you call. In Jesus' name, amen.